All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to be in God's house this morning again. I honestly try to mind the Lord. I'm not saying this, and sometimes you hear me say it maybe too much, but I really try to mind Him when it comes to sermons because I understand this. I told Jamie this morning. Whenever I get a sermon, the Lord's preaching to me first. You understand that? So some of this, this applies to me more than what you'll ever know. Whenever I get something, and the Lord was dealing with me late last night and this morning about this. So I want to do this. If you would turn with me to 1 John, the second chapter, the 20th verse. 1 John, the second chapter, 20th verse, and right there. And also, I'm not going to read this where we're standing, but I want you to turn over to Exodus, the 30th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse, and mark that over there, because I'm going to go to two different places on this morning. While you're turning there, Tink sung that song this morning, I'd Do It All Over Again. What maybe you don't know about that song, Happy Goodman sung that song, and Vesta Goodman's the one that sung that song. And whenever she said that, she'd breathe her last breath, she was singing what she absolutely had went through. See, she had cancer. She had breast cancer. And she was deadly sick to the point almost of death in her life at that time. And this cancer had ravaged her body. And she said, surely I breathe my last breath. But she said she would do it all over again. God brought her through it. God let her live years longer after that. But I'm here to tell you, whenever you hear these songs sometimes, listen to them, because there is a meaning in them that these people have experienced sometimes in their lives. Surely you would do it all over again to know the Lord and Savior as your Jesus Christ, as your Savior here this morning. Amen? You would know that, because you know what? When you get to the point, if you would, 1 John 2:20, stand when you get there, please, in honor of God's Word. In the King James Version, it says this, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, ye know all things. And I'm going to read that again. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. In the King James Version, if you just go over to your margin over there and put anointing, that's what that means. That means anointing. You have an anointing. And what I want to preach on this morning is this. The anointing makes the difference here this morning, brothers and sisters. It makes the difference. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come this morning with thanksgiving in my heart and want to thank you and to let you know and praise you for what you do in our lives, Lord. I want to give you the glory for it. Lord, I ask you, Father, to be with each and every one here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would let them know that the anointing makes a difference here this morning in their lives and that it can make the difference. And, Father, we will give you the praise for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you know here this morning that there is a difference between singing and anointed singing? How many of you know that here this morning? Between preaching and anointed preaching. I hope you know that there's a difference between that. Anybody can preach. I'm just here to tell you, anybody can preach. But there's a difference between preaching and anointed preaching of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between having church service and having an anointed church service. Do you know that here this morning as well? I believe that the anointing makes a difference. And no matter what goes on in your life, it will make the difference, because the anointing is what makes that difference in what's going on in a church service, no matter what it is, no matter what you're doing in your life. If you're born again this morning, the anointing can make a difference in your life. I believe the anointing can make the difference in your Christian walk. It can totally make the difference in your Christian walk. The calling God placed upon your life, that calling that God has given you, that gift that God has given you, can be so much more lifted up, so much more structured up higher if you let the anointing have place over that. Amen? 1 John 2:20 says again, but you have an unction from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Praise God this morning. With that anointing, you will know all things. You have an anointing. And when you have that anointing, guess what it does? It causes you to have the ability to do what God has called you to do. Everybody in here has a calling. Everybody in here has something that they can do for the Lord. It may be dormant in you this morning. You may be thinking, you know what? I don't know what it is, but I'm here to tell you that the anointing, that the calling, that the unction of the Holy Spirit can help you and lift you up and make that calling so much better. It can do that. I often heard a preacher say this one time, the unction is the function. Remember that. The unction is the function in your life. If you are a Christian here this morning, the anointing should be all that you want in your life here this morning. Anoint means to rub. It means to smear. It means to apply. It means to spread all over you is what the anointing means. In the Old Testament, they would pour 6 quarts of oil all over them is how that they anointed them. I want to tell you something. That's a lot of oil to be poured over somebody for the anointing. But I'm here to tell you, it wasn't a Brill Cream commercial. It wasn't a little dab that would do you. It would be so much that it would be pouring down their beards. In Psalms 133, it says this, a song of David, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. I preached on that here a while back. But it goes on to say, it is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe, as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there is the Lord bestows blessings and life evermore. Praise God this morning. Whenever the anointing comes down upon you, Aaron was drenched in it. Praise God this morning. When the anointing comes upon you, you will want to be drenched in it this morning. You want the Holy Spirit to drench your life with it is what you'll want. May I say to everyone listening here this morning, there is a need in the churches today. Can I say this with all the love of my heart? For the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon people's lives this morning. There is a need beyond measure for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to pour upon churches, not only in this country, but outside this country this morning. The people of the church across this land, they need the anointing, the pouring on of the Holy Spirit on their lives. We're not fighting small things nowadays, brothers and sisters. We're not. We wrestle against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. I say that a lot because this is what we are dealing with today. This is what the church world is dealing with today. And if there's ever a time that we need anointing, it is today in the age in which we live in. Amen. We're not fighting small things. We need the Bible, like they talked about over in the book of Joel, when it said in Joel 2:28, and afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all your people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even my servants, both men and women, will I pour out my spirit in those days. God is telling us this morning. He's telling me, he's telling you, like the prophet Joel said, he said, this is not a slight touch. Jamie is pouring out of his spirit upon his people. Do you know, on the day of Pentecost, from that day forth, that prophecy has come true. That prophecy is out there for each and every individual that's here this morning. You see, I'm telling you what, if you are a Christian here this morning, let it be known to you this morning that you need the anointing upon your life. You need the Holy Spirit to be poured upon your life. We don't serve a dead God. And praise God this morning, we don't need to serve Him in a dead way this morning. The anointing needs to be poured out on us. There needs to be a saturation of it in the churches today. Absolutely there does. There needs to be saturated with it from the day of Pentecost to now. And bro, I want to tell you something right now. It's not just for the preachers. Amen? You know, you think that the preachers do need anointed. But praise God, I'm still looking at a bunch of people in here this morning that, you know what, the anointing could be on you just as strong as it could be on any preacher out there. Because praise God, because that's what it's talking about. How does the anointing come? If you would, turn back to Exodus with me now. Exodus, the 30th chapter. 30, starting with verse 22. This is a likeness of what I want to talk about this morning. It says this: Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, said this, collect choice spices. And I'm going to read a little bit of a different than the King James Version here a little bit, because I want to get into it a little bit here. It's 12 and a half pounds of pure myrrh, 6.5 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6.25 pounds of fragrant calamus. And it says that 12 and a half pounds of canasus, as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. Also get 1 gallon of olive oil, like a skilled incense. Blend these ingredients to make a holy anointing oil. Use this sacred oil to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the temple, and all its utensils, and the lampstands, and all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering, all its utensils, the wash basin and its stand. Consecrate them to make them absolutely holy. After this, whatsoever touches them will also become holy. Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, and that they may minister unto the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon men's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall it make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. The oil, number one, when you read that, the oil, Greg, you mentioned it earlier, and I praise God again for confirmation. Listen, the oil, what they made that out of can only come out of crushing it. It can only come out of breaking it and pounding it. Brothers and sisters, there is something that whenever we go through trials and tribulation in our life and it breaks us down, I'm here to tell you right now, the anointing can come. Why? Because we are more receptive to it then. We are able to want it to come into our lives. That's what happened. They would crush that stuff. They would pound it down. They would make all that they could make out of it. And praise God, it was what God wanted them to do. My brother, count it all joy. Listen to this. Count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith does what? It worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Peter, 1 Peter 1:7 said, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The anointing will come through trials, brothers and sisters. It will come through that. I'm here to tell you this morning, there have been times in my life, and without a doubt, God preached to me this morning, Jamie, that there have been times in my life when I have been through trials, I have been through tribulations, things in my family, things in my life, and whenever I was there, guess what? That's when the anointing was the strongest. That's whenever it come upon me the strongest. That's when the Spirit would come, and that anointing would take a hold and get me through what I needed to get through. So this morning, if you're here going through the trials and the tribulations that this life will throw at you, listen to me. There's joy in the morning. Praise God, because listen to me again. Listen to what it's saying. Listen, when you're broke down, when you're crushed, when you're poured out, that's when the anointing can be put upon your life. You've got to hang in there during these trials, because this you come to the other side. That's when the anointing will be as strong. You'll come out and listen, something called the anointing will be upon your life. Listen, the anointing is special. It is powerful to those people. It is special and powerful here this morning. Can I say that again? And God will use you, your anointing, to help you get to others as well. He'll do that, because that anointing is what does that. When holy women and men of God pray for and let the anointing cover them, I will say this morning, things are going to happen. It just isn't the preacher. Listen again, whenever men and women let the anointing take over their lives and let it come into, things are going to happen. These were choice spices right here. What I read to you this morning were choice. When the anointing comes, it brings out the best in you. Will you agree with me? It'll bring out the best in you when the anointing comes. Everyone has a talent and a gift of God. And listen, the anointing will bring that to the surface. Will bring it up to the top. The anointing brings the best worship out of us. It brings the best gifts and ability to do those gifts out of us. It'll do that. And then as good as your gift is right now, it can be even better with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon it. It needs the anointing on it. Praise God, it's what it needs. I tell you, I've been in many services. I told you this before, and this is not to judge anybody. But man, I've went to gospel sings before, and that's all it was a sing. Amen. I've went and heard preaching before, and that's all it was just preaching. But I've been to services where it's been anointed, and the singing of God, and the people, and the Spirit was moving in the building, and I'm going to tell you what, the anointing was there. I've went and heard people preach, and I've heard preachers stand up to preach, and the anointing would fall down on them, and the word of God would go out. And you know what? It could be the same scripture you've heard a million times, but with the anointing of God on it, it makes a difference. Amen? It will make a difference in your life and in mine when the anointing of God comes. It's high time for the church. It's high time for us, listen to me, to get a fresh anointing on us. Amen? Ecclesiastics. I like this. I thought about this and the Lord showed me this. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says this. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell. Guess what? There's a lot of dead flies in the church this morning. There's a lot of dead flies in the anointing this morning in some churches this morning. Something's stinking and the problem is getting worse. It is. And that's because we've become used to the smell. You ever seen the Febreze commercial on television? We've become nose blind. We've become nose blind. Listen to me. We're stinking up to high heaven. Some people, some churches are stinking to high heaven. And the flies have got into the ointment. And it's stinking it up. And pray God, I'm here to tell you this morning, we need a fresh anointing. We need the anointing to come back over. We need the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and lift us back up again. Praise the Lord. All of us need to reevaluate. Make sure there's no flies in the anointing oil in your life here this morning. Make sure that there's not the old smell of religion. Oh man, that's out there all over the place. The old smell of religion. You know, it gets all over us from time to time. You know what I'm talking about? We're just going to church and not longing to go to church. I'm going to say that again. It's just like a machine. We're just going to church. We get up, it's time to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. It's time to go on Wednesday night. No, 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 that's not the way God wants it to be done. He wants us to have a longing, as David said. I said, thank God when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's the way, the anointing. That's what He wants for us to do. It's just like another Sunday, just another church day. Some people say, just another sermon, just another teaching, just another singing. When the freshness of the anointing comes over you, it is not like that in your life. You're glad when you go to God's house. You'll be blessed when you hear the messages. You're blessed when you hear the singing. Because why? You're not paying attention to the individual doing it. You're paying attention to the Holy Ghost that is anointing your heart, anointing your soul, and lifting you up. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. I tell you what, amen. Isn't that good preaching this morning? Not for me, but thank the Lord this morning. Romans 16:17, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division, but put obstacles in your way. They're contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Because you know why? There's another fly that's getting into the church. It's the fly of denominations that's getting in there. Pray God, when it started out, there was no denominations in the church. We were all in one accord and one mind. What was they wanting to see? They was wanting to see the gospel spread. Praise the Lord. The anointing can do what other things can't. When the anointing is in the house and on an individual, it permeates the whole room. You know, whenever that Aaron was, whenever they anointed those people, anointed the priests back in the old days, they said that they would pour that oil down over them, and that oil smelled. It was strong. And they said that they wouldn't even change their clothes when they was going home. They just walked down the streets slushing like this. They'd be walking down through there, and they said people would notice. They could smell it. They said that they could see their footprints. Let me ask you a question this morning. When you leave this world, are you leaving those oily footprints? Are you leaving the smell that people know that you're a Christian, that you've been anointed? Are you doing that this morning? Are you able to say that this morning? Are you able to say, praise God, you know what? It's not for show. They didn't do it for show. They weren't just doing it to do it. That's the way that they had to go home. And praise God, I'm telling you, one day we are going home, and praise the Lord, I'm hoping this morning that when you leave, there's going to be people who's going to say about you, listen, you know what? There was something different about that person. There was something different. They didn't stand up and bang their chest and say, I'm a Christian, but there was something different about that individual. The anointing was on them. The power of God was upon them. The Spirit of the Lord was on them. And they knew. Listen, Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house filled the fragrance of perfume in that whole place. When she anointed the feet of Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When the anointing's in the room, I'm going to tell you, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. It ain't good. You know what? You're going to smell it. You say, well, is it just like a regular fragrance? No. You're going to know it. I tell you, I have seen the Spirit of God move in churches where it would start over here, and it seemed like people would start getting happy and start. And I mean, it would just flow across the whole church. You knew the anointing was there. You knew it was there. You could feel it. You could smell it in there. You knew what was going on. The Spirit starts to move. And the Christians know it. They know it. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is freedom. You're not bound down. Praise God, when the anointing's in there, Bev, you got freedom to stand and praise His name. There's freedom to stand up and say, God, you are Lord of my life no matter where you're at. Amen? The atmosphere becomes saturated with the anointing of the Spirit. It will do that. The atmosphere is charged. Those that teach the Word and is anointed to change hearts. I'm here this morning to tell you that the anointing, with anointed preaching, anointed singing, anointed teaching, anointed testimonies, can change hearts this morning. Psalm 72:6 says this. Mike Statt, you're going to like this, by the way, buddy. Come in here and listen to this. This is what it talks about. It talks about whenever it said, may he be like rain falling on a mowed field. Like showers watering the earth. Have you ever walked out and smelled freshly mowed grass? That's the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. That's like the anointing. That's what it's like. It's like fresh mowed grass. It's like the fresh rain that falls. It's like all these things that we associate with. We say there's a smell of like fresh snow, whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit's like that. It's fresh. It's new. The anointing of the Spirit being renewed in you is like that this morning. Praise God. When the anointing comes, you can smell the rose of Sharon. Amen? Amen. You can smell the lily of the valley. Why? Praise God this morning, because you know what? You know what it is. You know what the Spirit does. There's something that comes on a child of God when the anointing hits them. That is, if you don't, like they said this morning, if you don't have the Spirit, you ain't understand the word I'm talking about this morning. But if you have it, you know just exactly what I'm saying this morning. You know exactly what I'm talking about when the Spirit comes upon you. Psalms 45:8 says this. All your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloe and canessus. I'm going to tell you something, Greg. You know this, when the Spirit of God hits you, it's from head to toe.
Amen.
Amen. It's from here down to here, and everything in between. It's got control of everything, your heart, your mouth, your mind, everything. It's got control of everything in your life. Because when the Spirit does that, it says it is from head to toe. Head to toe. That's how the anointing goes. When the anointing comes, it does that. People know it. They may not say it out loud, but they know it's on you. They know it's on you. Praise the Lord. There's something different about you this morning. There's something different about you. You stick out like the proverbial sore thumb. Amen. Listen, you heard me talk about Moose all the time, and I'm not bragging on Moose. But if you go to Walmart and you're in there, and if you don't get a praise the Lord out of Moose, there's something wrong with you. I walk down the aisles, he may be in line with 15 people behind him. Praise the Lord, Brother Dave! Listen to me. You stick out like a sore thumb. I'm not saying you got to go up there and praise the Lord. It wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, he deserves every bit of praise no matter where we're at, right? But listen, we don't have to go around with our chest stuck out saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. But brothers and sisters, when the anointing's on you, you're going to live it. You're going to live it no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing. You're going to live it. Praise God. We don't have to go around saying, I'm anointed, I'm anointed, I'm anointed. We don't have to do that. But praise God, when you are, you will show it. You'll show it. You don't have to say it like that out loud. There's something different about us. We're unusual. And no, I didn't do yoga. That isn't what it took to get me where I was at. But praise God, I got a prayer closet someplace. How about you this morning? I got a place where I can go and I can talk to Him one-on-one. You know, how about you this morning? It doesn't have to be a room in your house. It could be your car. It could be anywhere that you can talk to the Lord. But you know what? I believe when the anointing's upon you, whenever you're praying, I believe the anointing can come upon you. And I tell you, in that prayer closet, there are times when the anointing can come and pray. God, you think you're going to tear the doors off of it, John? Because He's that kind of a God. He anoints. The anointing, the fresh anointing. Praise God, He wants us to have that. We're not fighting our battles on our own. You know that? We're not doing that. We don't do that. Praise God. The anointing makes a difference when we're fighting those battles. It truly will make the difference in our lives when we're fighting the battles. And I want to show you something else in that scripture over in Exodus. I read you. In Exodus 30, 32, let's read that again with me. Upon the first part of it, upon men's flesh shall it not be poured. Now get that. Upon men's flesh will the anointing not be poured. Why is that important, Dave? Romans 8:5 tells us why. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity between God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then that they that are of the flesh cannot please God. The anointing's not going to go on the carnal man. It will not go on someone that is not spiritually where they should be. Not going to. Galatians 3:3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and ye are now perfect by the flesh? Ain't happening. It's not going to happen. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you began in the Spirit of God, the anointing was on you, don't think that the flesh is going to make it any better, because it won't. You need to be anointed, re-anointed with the Spirit of God, taken back up. Let Him re-anoint you this morning, because that is why. Because you're not to be carnally minded as death. Folks, if you're not depending on the Spirit for the anointing, it's not going to work. Can I say, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I'm here this morning to tell you, brothers and sisters, the anointing is precious. The anointing is Spirit. The anointing is what we need to lift us out of the doldrums sometimes. I've been there. I know. There have been times I've been lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. I know you've heard that old saying. At least I hope you have. I hope that just wasn't a Clay Batelock thing. I'm here this morning to tell you, praise God. Praise God, the anointing is for all of us. For everybody in here. For everybody down the road in these churches, down through this valley, down through this hollow, everywhere. The anointing. It's what's important to all of us to get us to where we need to be. Praise God this morning. Come and get us on. You know, if you have a need this morning, you know, if the Lord is dealing with you this morning, if there's something going on that you need to take care of, let God deal with you this morning. Let the Holy Spirit come upon your life this morning. If you're lost, my Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit will come in and guide and direct you. That's what it says. You know what? If you're here this morning, you know what? And you need reinvigorated. Come get a fresh dose of the anointing this morning. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and renew you this morning. Lift you up. Set your feet where it needs to be. Anybody in here, it's for everyone, not just me, not just for the few. Come this morning.